there are certain practices in the Bible that are clearly condemned. Pornography, premarital sex, adultery, murder, homosexuality, drunkenness, witchcraft, stealing, etc., are very clearly defined in Scripture. Although society has come to accept some of these transgressions, the Scriptures are pretty clear that these are works of the flesh. If you habitually practice such things, you will not enter the kingdom of God. This teaching this morning is not on that subject. But there are other actions that people do that are not so clearly defined in Scripture. What should you eat? What should you wear? Can you smoke? Can you dance? How do you worship God? Should you be silent with respect? Or should it be very charismatic with tremendous enthusiasm? Can you get involved in politics as a Christian? Can a Christian join the military? Should you go to the movies in this evil world? What is the acceptable type of vocation? What kind of work is appropriate for a Christian? How should our praise music be in the church? Should we have Jim Bodner on here singing, I can talk about this, I can talk about that. Jesus Christ is where it's at. A little guitar. Or should we be like the Rhode Island Praise Team, where we got a band and we got Victor up here and the whole place is playing and we got music. Or should we be like the Bucky Dance we had last week with just nice, quiet music? Or should we have a choir with choir robes and we don't do the words up here, but should we have books? What's the proper way? What's right? What's wrong? There's a lot of things in life that aren't that black and white as far as what is right and what is wrong. A few years ago, about 10 years ago, I've worked for the same job for the state for about 20 years. And about 10 years ago, there was a girl that, she started actually the same time I did. We were really good friends. We had a really really cordial relationship. I worked on computers, so I'd see her every time I'd see her. I talked about my kids, she talked about her dogs. You know, we had a real good relationship. And then she was moving out of state. Her husband got a job out of state, and she was moving. And I never really got to know her as far as a relationship, as far as my Christian faith. And before she went, I asked her if we could go to lunch, and we went to lunch. And like I said, we always had just such an open conversation at work. And, you know, she knew me, and I knew her. But I never really talked to her about my faith. And we're eating lunch together, and I said, by the way, you know, I've never told you this, but I'm a Christian, and I teach the Bible, and I'm involved with the church. I love it. It's what I do. And she suddenly just put a wall up to me, and she said, don't judge me. And that's like, it took me back, because here I had had this, she knew me, I knew her, but as soon as I told her I was a Christian, she says, don't judge me. And she got very defensive just for the fact that I told her that that's what my faith was. And why would she think that? If you ask non-believers, atheists, agnostics, or just people who have not really come to a decision about what their faith is, if you ask those people in our country today, what is a characteristic that you think of when you think of a Christian? I wonder how many people the answer would be judgmental. Why is that? It seems so far from the desire of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What Jesus said was, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And that by this, by loving one another, all men that you are know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I think Satan has done a pretty good job of defaming Christianity. I think he's done a pretty good publicity campaign to give Christianity a black eye, causing outsiders to see the church as judgmental or hypocritical. So how do we change that perception? We must first, I believe, look within. I can't change you. And I can't change the world's perception towards Christianity. But I can look at myself and be honest. And I can ask myself, in my own life, am I being judgmental? And I challenge each of you to test yourself today with that question. Do I find myself to be a judgmental person? If so, by God's mercy and grace, I can change. I can change this individual. I can't change you. I can teach you this morning, but I can't change you. But I can look at this person and be honest. And I can choose to live my life by the words of my Lord Jesus, who said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Romans 14, chapter 1. I mean, chapter 14, verse 1. It says in Romans 14, 1, "Now, accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." Accept the person who's weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment. In the New Revised Version, it says, "Welcome those who are weak in the faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions." The New Jerusalem Bible's version says, "Give a welcome to anyone whose faith is not strong, but do not get into arguments about doubtful points." There's a lot of things in life. And there's a lot of differences of opinion. You ever noticed? Maybe just you and your wife have some differences of opinions, right? When we talk about the body of Christ and all the people and the variety of personalities and the variety of backgrounds that make up the body of Christ, there's a lot of opinions, a lot of ideas that aren't necessarily black and white, right, wrong. We're not supposed to get in arguments about those things. We're not supposed to get in quarrels over those things. We're supposed to welcome each other with the love of Christ. Specifically, now he's going into an example, and the specific example that he gives in this chapter is eating. The things that you eat. Oh boy, there's something. Look at these. Romans 14, verse 2. It says, "One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God accepted him." That's good advice, especially in our dietary society we have. What's the diet of the times? I mean, you know how many different diets I've been on, right? I did the low calorie, or you know, where you watch what you eat, just watch your portion, half everything. I've done the low fat diet, lots of grains. Now I'm on a low carb trip. What's big now? Gluten free now is the big thing, right? So what's the fad of the day? You know, just in diets. There's people, and I also think that although I'm not going into detail in that because I don't think we relate to it as much today, but I think there was a lot in here in the book of Romans about Jewish believers who still adhere to legal of the law, of things you can eat and cannot eat according to the law. And some people wanted to continue not eating pork, not eating shellfish, doing the things of the law. And there's a liberty in Christ where Jesus claimed everything free. But Paul says, don't get into that. Who cares? Right? When I was a young believer, 18, I went a year to move the gospel with some other Christians. And I lived with three other Christians. And we lived actually in Houston, Texas. And there were several little fellowships that we associated with. And as things go in churches and in communities of churches, there all become this big natural food movement where everybody suddenly wanted natural food. All the believers were doing it. Everybody's in the natural food kick. I just came out of high school, all right? I still like a Snickers bar and a Coke. All right, this is real. This really happened. And the people I've lived with, they all were like, let's do this thing. And they threw away everything in our house. All of our food they threw away. And they got all natural health food. And I didn't even know this was going on. I mean, they did this. I come home from work with my Snickers bar and my Coke. And I walk in the door, and man, did I get judged. I mean, they looked at me like I was like from the devil or something. And, you know, and they said, John, you need to put that away. So I finally I went to my room and I ate my Snickers bar. But then this kept going on. So finally I said, look at you guys, we got to sit down and talk. And we sat down and I read them these verses right here in Romans. I said, look it, I'm really thankful you want to do natural health food, and I have no problem with that. And please do it. And I, you know, that's fine with me. But I still like my Snickers bar. Okay? And I think in Jesus Christ I'm allowed to have that. Now, as I'm older, I think I might have regretted that decision. You know, because the truth of it is the body, it's not kind to you if you eat junk food. But I don't think Jesus cares. You understand? But we get so into this thing. And these are the stupid things that we fight over and we have opinions about and we get all locked. And he says, don't judge. Stop it. Stop it. Now, if you come to me and you're really sick and you keep getting sick and your diet's not too good, I might say, you might want to think about eating better. And I'm not saying that to judge you. I'm saying that because I love you. And I want to help you get healed. But that's a whole different thing. You understand? And we want to be able to understand that balance in life. Verse 4 then says, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. You see, all of us serve the same Lord Jesus. All right? That's who you're responsible to. I'm not responsible for your relationship with your master. You're responsible. I'm responsible with my relationship with my master. And I'm not supposed to judge you if your master, you know, you got to stand before the Lord, right? Not me. I got to stand before the Lord in my life. You know, sometimes I talk to people at work where some other employee is not happy with what they're doing. And they're all, oh, this person, I said, well, what does your boss think? Oh, my boss thinks I'm doing a great job. Then who cares? You understand? That's who you work for. That's the one that you want to make sure you are, that's the one that's paying you. All right? That's the way we should be with each other. You stand before your Lord Jesus. You got to stand before him. I have to stand before him. We don't judge each other. You understand? That's the thing. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, verse 5. One person, but you know what, before I go down to verse 5, I want to point out Jesus real quick, because he lived above all this. He really did. If we could learn to live like Jesus, that would be a really awesome thing. That would be a goal to pursue in the way we deal with one another, in the way we deal with sinners, the way we deal with people. Keep a ribbon here in Romans 14 because we're coming back. But look at Luke chapter 7. Luke 7. You know, one of the things that Jesus was judged about the most, one of the things he got, well, I don't know about the most, but often he was judged about? A couple things. One was doing things on the Sabbath day. He got judged about that a lot. That he did things that didn't fall within the religious, what they believe you should do on a certain day of the week. And the other thing he got judged about a lot was hanging out with publicans and sinners. Was going to the homes and eating with sinners. And he was judged about that quite a bit from the religious leaders of his time. Here in Luke 7, verse 36. Luke 7:36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now, right there tells you, everybody knew this woman was a sinner. We're not told about what that sin was, but it was well known. That woman's a sinner. Maybe you've met her. I don't know. And when she learned that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing his feet, and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, again, so this Pharisee, this he's saying within himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is, and is touching him, and that she's a sinner. So here, this man, without even speaking, he is judging that woman, and he's judging Jesus. Right there. I love our Lord. Watch what he does there. And Jesus answering him, Simon, this isn't Simon Peter, this is Simon the Pharisee. He's talking to this Pharisee. His name was Simon. And he answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. One owed a lot and one owed a little bit. And they were unable to repay. He graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one to whom he forgave more. And Jesus, he answered and said to him, you have judged correctly. You judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. So here Jesus is able to look beyond the sinner, look beyond the sin, and love the unlovable. We've got to be able to figure this out. How to love the sinner without loving the sin. How to be non-judgmental and reach out to this world and reach out to one another without having judgment and harshness and have forgiveness in our hearts. Jesus did it. And Christ lives within us. It might be a good idea for us to pray about that. Lord, help me be like Jesus Christ today. Help me love like Christ. Help me think like Christ. Help me have the mind of Christ as I go into this world today. And to have that balance that is so hard to find in this world that we live in. To be able to love the unlovable and not judge people. While we're talking about Jesus, go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's see from the words of our Lord himself. Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 1. 7:1 says, what's it say? Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? This is what I call toothpicks and telephone poles. Right? You see the little toothpick in your brother's eye, but you don't see you got a telephone pole sticking out of your own. That's what happens when you judge. That's what he's saying. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye and behold the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. It's a great figure of speech, isn't it? Look at Galatians chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. See, we are not to judge one another, but we are to have loving care for one another. And I said there are many things that are opinions that don't really matter, right? There's a lot of things that we do that it really doesn't matter, you know, what we do or how we live or what we wear or what we, you know, it doesn't matter. But there is sin that's a reality that all of us face. And if a brother is caught in a habitual sin, we are to lovingly help them. Not judge them, help them with the love of Christ. And Galatians, I think, gives a very good explanation of how to do that without being judgmental. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And it says, brethren, even if anyone is caught up in any trespass, you see a brother caught up in a trespass, caught up in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness or meekness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Great words. If I see someone that's caught into a sin, it's not my job to be the policeman of the church to tell them, you're wrong. What's the point of that? You see, the point is to help people get over their sin, not to condemn them. And how do you know that maybe you haven't lived in their shoes and you don't know what they've been going through? And maybe, just maybe, they are right at the point where they're ready to repent and change. Will your judging and your harshness help them change? Or could it drive them further into their sin? And see, this is the place where we have to have the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ. And here it tells you what it is the spirit of meekness and gentleness, considering your own self, so that you're not tempted to put a telephone pole in your own eye. You understand? So, you know what a great lesson is? If that was me in that sin, because you know what? Most people who are in sin know it. And they're probably in a lot of condemnation. And they probably don't know how to get out. Some people are not aware that they're in the sin. In either case, ask yourself, how would I want to be approached? How would I want someone to confront me if this was me? That's a good way to think when you're trying to help a brother. In the spirit of gentleness, in the spirit of meekness, reach out with the love of Christ. Because the point is not, well, do you want to show me that you know more than I do? Or do you want to help me? You understand? And if our heart is to help with the love of Christ, we can do this thing where we can help each other and yet not be judgmental of one another. You understand? Back to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 5. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, for he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God and eats not. For the Lord he does not eat and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, or not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. First thing here he mentions is a day. One person regards a day above another. Again, I think this may be relating to the Sabbath day. It doesn't say for sure. And you know, there's some people who still keep the Sabbath. There's some people who believe that Saturday should still be the Sabbath and not Sunday, that it should have never changed. You have others who are very strict on the Sabbath day and the way they worship God. You have other people who, you know, don't think that you're supposed to take one day and make it above another. You know what? I'm thankful to God to anybody that will do anything for any day for God, right? If there's someone who wants to make Sunday and that's a special day for God, praise God! I don't want to judge them. Or if there's somebody who really says, well, you know, Saturday's the day I do that, praise God! And if there's someone who says, I'd like to live every day for the Lord, praise God! You understand? I don't know, and this isn't, a teaching on whether the Sabbath is the right or wrong. One thing I do know, we're not supposed to judge if someone wants to keep a Sabbath day in their life or keep a day for God. I'm not to judge that. I'm to praise God. What a great thing. That's fantastic. You know, or to start arguing about my liberty and let me show you how liberated I am in Christ. It's not what we're supposed to do. It's not what we're to be about. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Here's the truth. All men are sinners. And all men need a Savior. I think that's all the simplicity of that Jesus lived. We're all sinners. And we all need a Savior. And I think if you keep that simple in your thinking, we're all going to die. Right? We're all going to the grave. And there's only one way out. And that's Jesus Christ. Keep that simple in your thinking. Whether we live or die, we're the Lord's. And in the time I have on this earth, let's live for the Lord. Amen? Isn't that great? Okay, so then it says in verse 9, for this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. But verse 10, but you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. We're all going to stand before God's judgment seat. Why do you judge your brother? He's going to stand before his Lord one day. You know, and honestly, I don't think I am smart enough to judge. I don't know you. I don't really know what's going on in your background, in your life, in your heart, in the things that brought you to the point you are at this point in your life. God does. And God is the righteous judge. That's why I don't think I have the capability to judge you. I have the capability to love you. And that's, I got enough trouble judging myself. You know, I need to judge me and the things I do. I want to show you James. If you stay here in Romans, keep a ribbon or something. James chapter 4, because this is a really good section on just a little few verses here on James chapter 4. James 4, verse 11. It says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Here it says, don't, talking about speaking, what you speak. You ever find yourself saying, you know what so-and-so did? You start speaking. It comes out of your mouth. Something about a brother. Shut up. That's what this is saying. Stop it. Why do I want to speak bad about a brother? It may be true, but so what? I don't need to spit it out. And I don't need to put it on Facebook. for everybody else to see how evil this brother is. It's just ridiculous. No wonder the church has a black eye. The church speaks bad about the church. One church complains about the way this guy dresses as a minister. One church complains about the music at this church. Stop it! Stop speaking this stuff. Shut up. Keep it to yourself. Judge yourself. What am I doing, right? Yeah, that's great. Romans 14. Back to Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 10. But you, verse 10, why do you judge your brother, or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. That's what you need to be concerned with. Your own life, your own account before God. And then it goes on. Verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. No more. But rather determine this. Not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in your brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Do you really want to get in an argument over food and lose a brother over it? Isn't that a little stupid? Right? Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and for the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. Stop it. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for men who eat and give offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God, happy is he who does not condemn himself in that which he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. Don't judge each other. Look at James chapter 2. I want to just show you another couple good chapters on this in other sections. James 2. Back to James chapter 2, verse 1. James 2, 1. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you'll pay attention to the one who wearing the fine clothes, and you say, sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there and sit down at my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whosoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. And he also said, he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you commit adultery, but you do not commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. That's a good line. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Have a merciful, compassionate heart. You know, it's very easy to look at people, especially with the stereotypes that we have, that have been just magnified, I think, in the media, to look at a person, and before you know anything about them, based on what they wear, you've already made a judgment about them. You've already determined. And this could go either way. You could look at someone who comes in and they got tattoos all over their body and they got cut off jeans and they look like whatever, and you got this thought about them, and you got another guy that comes in a nice suit, nice clean, nice, and you, oh, that person's... I don't think Jesus saw people that way. He saw black and white. Sinner needs a Savior. That's the way we look at people. If we can get that down, that would be great. You know, here at the church, I know some churches, the minister will wear jeans and a t-shirt when they teach. We've chosen that when we do this here, we wear a suit and tie. I don't think it makes a difference to God. We do it because we think it makes a difference to you. And then we've chosen in this church to do it because we think that in our society, we've kind of lost respect for God. We've lost the idea of respect and honor and awe. We've lost the idea that you should have reverence towards God. And that's why we wear a suit and tie when we teach. Really, that's it. Not because I think I look pretty good, but no. Because you know what? I could be just as judgmental with jeans and a t-shirt up here as I could be with a suit and tie. It doesn't really make a difference. And you know what? We may change. We may decide someday we're going to get rid of this lectern. We'll just have an open stage and we'll walk around. We can do that. We can change the music. We can change anything. This is America. We're not bound by that. We're bound by love. We're bound by love. If we keep that straight, all the other stuff can work itself out. But we don't want to judge people based on their looks. We want to reach out to people. And if you can, you know, I want to be able to sit with the sinner. I want to be able to sit with the guy who's stinky and homeless. With the same way I could sit with a head of state and have no judgment of persons, respect of persons either way. Or a wealthy, famous person who would walk into the room for some reason, an actor or an actress or a famous person. That I would have the same respect of persons. Can you do that? That's the way Jesus was. No respect of persons. Be able to see everybody. Sinner needs a Savior. That's it. Ha ha! That's simple. Every person's the same. And when you have that, you can really live that way. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians. I think I'll close in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Another great section. Because one of the great things that we know in Christianity is that Jesus Christ freed us from the laws and from legalism. He freed us from being bound by laws that were too difficult for people to obtain. And now, in Christ Jesus, in the Old Testament, if they sinned, they had a whole ritual they had to do where they had to take a lamb and cut it up and slay it, bring it to the priest, offer it. There was a whole ritual service. And now in Christ Jesus, according to 1 John, if we sin, we confess our sins, we take it to Him, our advocate. And He advocates before us to the Father, right? And we have that freedom and that liberty in Christ, which is just, it's liberation that we have in Christ Jesus. But don't use your liberty in Christ to do something that might offend a brother, that might cause them to stumble. I think of this with alcoholism, you know, with people that are addicted to alcohol, or, you know, I will never have a drink with someone if I know that that's an issue for them. Just won't do it. Even if I have the liberty and I know, I don't want to do that. Now, sometimes I've not realized it, but never would I consciously want to do that. To put that type of stumbling block in front of a brother. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, however, 1 Corinthians 8, he's talking about idolatry in this section. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol now until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. We probably can't relate to this, but in the Roman society, in the pagan religions, the idolatrous worship of the Roman gods, there was a whole ritual that they would do, which would include eating. And there were foods that they would eat in these religious rituals to these idolatrous gods as part of their religious service. And that's what he's basically talking to here, saying there are some people who eat food, and when they eat that food, it makes them think about this time with when they were in this idolatrous practice. I can relate to this. My wife has a different background than I do, and there'll be times where I'll play a song. We'll hear a song on the radio, and to me, that song brings back great memories. I'll hear that song, we go, yeah, rock on. Yeah. You know, I don't know what it is, something from the 70s usually, you know. And I remember a good time with it. But for her, she hears that song, and it takes her to a really, really bad place. And she'll say, please turn that off. Now, I got liberty in Christ. Say, come on, grow up. Jesus Christ freed you from that. What's the matter with you? No, I wouldn't do that. I'd turn the song off. Because I don't want to cause my brother to stumble. I don't want to do anything that would bring, that takes a person to a place of sin in their life. Or takes a person to a place of a memory in their life that causes them to go back. You understand? I have the liberty to. I can do whatever I want to in Christ Jesus. God doesn't care, I don't think, what music I listen to. Well, he might care some of the music out of it, but, you know, or what TV show I watch. But if those things bring someone else to a place, well, then you turn it off. You don't do that. And here in Romans 8, he's talking about this food that they would offer in these services to idols. And it says in verse 8, but food will not condemn us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you have knowledge dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. Wow. That I would do something because I have liberty in Christ that causes my brother to stumble back into sin? That's deep. That's deep. And so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their consciences weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. I love that. If the things that I do that I have freedom in Christ cause you to sin, I'll stop for Jesus Christ's sake. I will relinquish my liberty for the brethren. I think if we could live this way, if we could live with this heart of Jesus Christ, to think of others better than ourselves, to love with the love of Christ as the disciples of Christ, to let people see people who love one another and not judge one another, who don't speak evil of one another or speak bad about one another, I think we could see a great day in our country, a great day in our church, a great day in the Christianity. And that's what it said in Romans 9. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And what are we to pursue? We are to pursue the things which make for peace and the things which we build up one another. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy, God. And we are so thankful today for all that you provided in Christ Jesus. God, help us to not be judgmental. Help us to have the mind of Christ in all our dealings, that we can walk with the compassion and love of Jesus Christ. Help us forsake our own will and live for your will only. God, what a gracious Savior we have. What a loving, forgiving Savior. What an example he is. Help us to live with the mind of Christ in our life. Thank you for this week before us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.